Hey besties, I'm back. Hey guys, so I'm sort of diverting from my normal path here, and I'm going to be talking about a book that just absolutely devastated me. I swear I cried the entire book. Maybe not a downright sob, but I did cry quite a lot while reading this book, and that book was A Man Called Ove. I'm sorry, here I go again, mispronouncing it. So, the entire time that I saw this book sitting on the shelves, I, in fact, thought that you pronounced his name Ove. Fortunately, I read the audiobook, so I was quickly corrected. His name is actually Uva. So, it's actually A Man Called Uva. Now, the best comparison I can make, and I thought of this the entire time that I was reading it, was, you know that first 10 minutes in the movie Up? You know, where you get to see Carl and his wife growing together when they're younger, and they do all this fun stuff, and they're mismatched. They're like an odd couple, you know, opposites attract. She's very bubbly. She's very colorful. She's very fun. She's very friendly. And he's a little bit more curmudgeon-y. He's quiet. He's reserved. But he's strong and resilient and helpful. And she makes him a better person. And then she dies. And you know what? Even though it's only the first couple minutes, it makes me cry every time. So imagine my surprise when I'm reading A Man Called Ove, and it is essentially the same thing, but for the entire book. And now, fortunately, I listened to this through audio, because I feel like if I had read it, it wouldn't have flowed as well for me. But listening to the narration, oh, it was, in my eyes, a masterpiece. I enjoyed it so thoroughly. It was amazing. So it starts off, and Uva is an old man, living alone, being a grump. You know, he's that guy in the neighborhood who's running out looking for vandals and burglars and yelling at people and their pets and not cleaning up their pets' waste and excrement. And he's the town nuisance, and he lives in a residential area. And I think everyone sort of wants to stay away from him because he is essentially like the town's grumpy old man, you know, stay off my lawn, you noisy kids, you know, just very grumpy and not personable and not friendly. And that's because he's lost his wife, Sonia, who was the brightness, who was the sunshine, who was the friendly one. And throughout the book, he goes back and talks about his relationship with her, and just talks about how essentially she made him a better person. And like, he met her on a train. And Uva before this did not have, you know, a picture perfect life. He had a mom and a dad, and then his mom died when he was young. And it was just him and his dad. And his dad was a quiet man, kind of like Uva grew up to be. And the thing that they really bonded over was cars and mechanics. And his dad, like, didn't have a formal school education, but he worked on train engines and rebuilding and all that really made sense to his dad. So while he might have not had an academic mind, he was brilliant when it came to motors and things like that. And his dad was also the type to help where help was needed. When Uva was a kid, his dad's boss's daughter was getting married, but their car broke down. And Uva's father just happened to be around. No, they called him, right? Because he's the genius with the engines. And he got that car repaired up, and they were able to go on and have their wedding, and they invited him. And he was like, I'm just, you know, a normal guy. I don't deserve to be around such expensive taste, but I have a little boy at home, and I know he would really love whatever food that they were serving. He'd love to take it home to him. So he brought the food home to Uva, and Uva thought it was a feast, like the best food that he had ever seen or could imagine. And so Uva kind of gets that from his father, this like helpfulness, but it's in a very silent and very reserved way, because Uva goes on to tell the story of how he goes to Spain with Sonia, his wife, and she was pregnant at the time, and all she wanted to do was nap and just lay around and be lazy and eat and, you know, all that fun stuff. And Uva doesn't sleep 16 hours a day, so while she was napping, he would go for a walk around the town, even though he didn't speak Spanish. And he found ways to, like, insert himself into these people's lives. And there was this one man who owned a restaurant, and there was an old woman and two young kids in a car, and the car was broke down on the side of the road. And the man who owns the restaurant, he says, "Señor, señor, like, come over here." And the Spanish man is, like, screaming, like, "a hospital," and pointing at the engine. And Uva, being a little dense, thinks that this man is calling the engine or the car a hospital. Like, that's what he thinks that they call it in Spanish. And so Uva points to himself and is, like, sob, because that's his car. That's he never wavered in his loyalty to Saab, even after they got sold. And so Uva says, "Well, let me take a look." And he said that the old woman was looking pale and not well, and the two young kids looked terrified. And he got the car fixed up, and the man who owned the restaurant and the old woman and the two kids took off. And so every time Uva would go into the restaurant after that, their meals would be free, because Uva helped them, even though he didn't realize, I guess, how impactful and how serious the situation was. He helped. Now, was he a little bit grumpy about it? Yeah, he's not a people person. He's not a man of many words. He's a man of very few words. But when push comes to shove, he is there. And so then, for the rest of the week, while he's walking around town, he sees a man re-putting in his fence, and he tells him he's not doing it right. And since there's a language barrier, he decides to just show him himself. And so that's what Uva does on his vacation with his pregnant wife while she's napping. He runs around town helping everyone. And unfortunately, tragedy strikes, because when him and Sonia are getting ready to go back home and they get on a bus, there's an accident. The bus gets into an accident, and Sonia loses the baby, as well as the use of her legs. She's in a wheelchair from that point forward. And Uva was so mad. He was so mad because here Sonia is, this light of his life, this light of other people's life, this wonderful, beautiful, helpful, kind person. And bad things are happening to her. And of course, Sonia for a while was devastated and sort of despondent. But then she just said, "You know what? It happens. Like, we have to get through this. We can't make this our lives. We cannot dwell on this. We have to live for something." So one day she just decides, okay, so we're gonna, you know, move forward with this. And Uva's upset, but he takes his guide from Sonia. So if Sonia says that they're done mourning, then they're done mourning, because he is in it for her, and he would do anything for her and to make her happy. And so essentially, it's just this whole book talking about this unconditional, really, love. Like, I'm tearing up now. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice breaking, but, like, I've just never known anyone to be just so in love with a person that they just relive this. And it's to the point where he wants to kill himself. Like, that's the point of the whole book. He's attempting suicide so he can be with Sonia. He does not want to be without her. Because even though the bus accident didn't take them out, and the not being able to carry her pregnancy to term, and her being paralyzed isn't enough, she winds up getting cancer. Now, fortunately, Uva and Sonia were able to be together for 40 years. So he didn't lose her early on, but he lost essentially his reason for living. And he would go to her grave and he's like, "I just want to be with you. And I don't want to take up any more time. And I just want us to be together again." But then this family moves in next door. And this family that moves in next door is a young family, a husband named Patrick, and a wife, and then their two daughters. And so this young family winds up moving across the street from Uva, and they are incessantly bothering him. And of course, he takes it as a bother and a nuisance, as opposed to what it really is, which is helping him find a new meaning for his life. So the wife is actually pregnant, and she just really puts it on herself to just go over and see Uwe and chat with him, even though he acts like it's bothering him. She does slowly wear him down. The first day that they meet, Uwe was going to hang himself. And he hears all this commotion outside, and Patrick, the woman's husband, is running over his mailbox with a trailer. And he's pissed. Here's a trailer, and they're unloading all this stuff, and he's just being grumpy, grumpy, nasty. Patrick, very positive, happy guy, isn't having any of it. His wife, a little more testing of the waters. She's trying to figure out Uwe and who he is as a person. And the girls, who are 7 and 3, you know, the 3-year-old is just ecstatic to meet a new person. The 7-year-old's a little bit more reserved. And it's just from that point on, there's always something that stops him from committing that final act. And I, every time, like, he's in the car at one point and he's ready to go, and the pregnant wife winds up coming and knocking on his garage door. She needs to be taken to the hospital. Patrick has fallen off the ledge, off of a ladder, actually. And he's really hurt and he needs to be taken to the hospital. And that's what the pregnant wife goes over to tell him. And as she's talking to him, she can sort of put two and two together. And she's like, no, you need to drive us to the hospital. We need to go now, because if you don't take us, we'll have to wait for a bus. And, you know, Uwe has this hesitancy towards buses ever since, you know, what happened with him and his wife. So he takes him to the hospital. He hates hospitals, obviously. You know, he was in the hospitals a few times with Sonia. And so he's there with the girls. And I think that this is where it really starts to, he starts building this bond with the children and with the pregnant woman. And it's just thing after thing after that. So the pregnant woman asks him to teach her how to drive. And it goes traumatically, because they drive manual over there. So, you know, there's a clutch, the gas, and the brake, and you have to use the gear shift. And she was just, it was too complicated for her. And honestly, her belly probably didn't help, you know, trying to maintain her distance from the steering wheel and all that good stuff. So it was definitely a learning. And he winds up taking her to a cafe, and she doesn't realize why they're at the cafe. And then he has this memory about how he always used to go to cafes with his wife Sonia on Sundays, and he would read the paper, but she loved to chat and people watch. And so he hadn't stepped foot in a cafe since his wife had died. But now here he is with the pregnant woman. And he's there because there was a kid who wanted to repair a bike for his girlfriend. And it's not really his girlfriend yet, but he wants her to be. So I guess repairing the bike is like how he's going to get an in to dating this girl. And even though Uwe is this grumpy, curmudgeon-y man, he's going to help this kid repair the bike so he can get a girlfriend. So he drove all the way to that cafe just so he could drop off the bike to the kid who wants the girlfriend, which I thought was so sweet. And another kid that works at the cafe happens to be part of the LGBTQIA+ community, and he works at the cafe, and it's his father's cafe, but his father doesn't know because he hasn't come out yet. But his father's like cursing at this thing he's trying to fix, calling it an effing fairy. And the kid, you can just tell, is like regressing into himself. Like, he's scared, he's embarrassed. And that's important because later on in the book, he winds up coming out to his dad, and his dad kicks him out of the house. So what does Uwe do? Uwe takes him in. And then there's a cat. And Sonia had a cat named Ernest with her dad. And when her dad died, Ernest the cat sort of followed close behind him. And the cat would go fishing with her dad. And it was all just very sad. So there's Ernest the cat, but now there's a new cat that Uwe doesn't actually want. But, you know, he's taking in because he's not going to, it's snowing outside, so he's not going to let the cat freeze to death. And in a weird way, I think the cat kind of reminds him of his wife. Uwe gives this cat a very, like, expressive personality, and the cat follows him around when he does his walks of the neighborhood, and he takes him to the cafe, and he takes the cat everywhere with him, and the cat will, like, lay its head in his hand. And Sonia used to do this thing where she would poke her finger in his palm, and it's just so sweet to, like, see these relationships that he's getting. Even though I think it's almost begrudgingly because I don't think he realizes that he's building these relationships. I mean, there's this heavyset guy named Jimmy who lives on his street who just is friendly and a computer nerd and becomes friends with him. There's the kid from the there's both kids from the cafe. There's the young family across the street. There's his neighbors, Rune, who's his age, and his wife, Anita. And Rune is suffering from dementia, and they want to take him away from his wife, Anita. And Uwe will not stand for it. So he basically rallies the entire community together to make sure that the authority doesn't come and take him out of his home. And I just, look, I could lose it all over again. That is just, who doesn't want that type of person in their corner? You know, like that is just, it gets to me. So once all the big things are taken care of and they save Rune from being taken away by the authority, the young family across the street, their 7-year-old daughter's having an 8th birthday party, and she wants a special present, but she knows she's not going to get it because it's too expensive. And her and Uwe bond because she likes houses, and Uwe was in construction. He built his own house, which unfortunately caught on fire and burned down, but he's also like a maintenance man, a handy guy, so he knows all about repairs. He could build a house if he wanted to and all that, so they sort of bond over this, you know, love of houses. And so she whispers in his ear that she wants an iPad. He goes out with Jimmy, the heavyset man from the neighborhood, who's a tech person, and Jimmy takes him to the electronics store, and he's arguing with the associate there, like telling him, what about a keyboard? Like, is this a computer? Like, what's the best computer? And, you know, he needs an iPad, and he's not really understanding the difference in the technologies, but Jimmy's there to help him. They wind up getting the best iPad for the little girl, and he surprises her with it on her 8th birthday, and she is speechless. And then the mom and dad ask if he wants to stay for cake, and he says, you know, no, I've got to go do my nightly rounds. And so he leaves, and he catches some burglars across the street. And at first he thinks they're just partygoers, but no, they're breaking into someone's shed. So he goes over there to stop him. He's like, hey. And he has basically a heart attack. And fortunately, the pregnant wife comes out and finds him, gets an ambulance for him, gets him in the hospital. And when the doctor comes and gives his diagnosis, his heart's too big, which is just kind of funny because here's this nasty, grumpy old man who goes out of his way to help people, and his problem this whole time is that his heart's too big. It was very reminiscent of like, and the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day. Just that, like, okay, yes, I get that they mean that he has an enlarged heart, but when you take it for just a sentimental meaning that his heart is too big, it made me sob because his heart is too big and he is constantly out there helping people. And so he winds up, you know, finally being able to go home, and he continues to be really close with all of the neighborhood, and that he finally sort of lets go of Sonia and allows the young family across the street to come over and help him pack up Sonia's things. And the young man who was living with him after his father kicked him out winds up getting married to Jimmy, and he gets to go to the wedding, and he gets a cell phone, and the little girls call him Granddad. And one day the wife can't get a hold, well, the pregnant wife, but she's not pregnant anymore because it's like 2 or 3 years later. She realizes that he's not been out for his morning walk to survey the neighborhood. And so she gets in his house because she has a spare key, and she breaks into his bedroom, and he is just laying there peacefully. And the cat's head is in the palm of his hand. And then the cat gets up, finally realizing, you know, that its owner's passed away. And he like left a letter for her and left her everything and like set it up with the lawyers. And he was like a millionaire, and he wanted her family to get some money. And then Jimmy and the guy that he married, they wind up adopting a little girl. And he's like, I want you to give her $1 million. And, you know, that was like his family. And he said that he didn't want a funeral service, and over 300 people wound up coming. Like, people's lives that he impacted, you know? And he was buried right next to his wife. And it just God, like, my heart is broken and mended all at the same time. Like, that was so absolutely heartfelt and heartwarming, but also devastating. And I never want to put myself through it again, but also think it's very cathartic to read something like this and to just try and understand just the levels and degrees of love that there is out there. And I was absolutely blown away. So, you know, 10 out of 10, definitely recommend everyone read it, especially if you like emotional books. I am partial to the audiobook because I just think it was so well done. And you get to hear the pronunciations because I'm pretty sure they were Swedish or Nordic, something like that. So, yeah, A Man Called Uwe was absolutely fantastic. Please, please read it if you get the chance. And as always, if you have any book recommendations that you want me to go over on the podcast, please email me at bookscoop@yahoo.com. Okay, love you. Bye.